We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
All right. Hi, everyone. Happy Thursday, Friday's Eve here in the States, if you are here in the States. This is the Student-Centered Classroom, the elementary edition, specifically second, third, and fourth grade. So all grades that I don't know a lot about. And so that's why we have amazing educators on this panel to share their experiences and their expertise with you all. So with that being said, we have a quick video for you because this webinar is being sponsored by Modern Classrooms. And so we'll watch this quick video and we'll be right back.
Tell me if this has happened to you. You come to school one day, the teacher's at the board, and it's time for the lesson. Except, you were homesick yesterday. So when the teacher starts talking, you're not sure what they're talking about. You're lost. Or maybe you learned this last year. So when the teacher explains what you already know, you're bored. Or maybe you're just having a bad day. It happens. The teacher's talking, but you can't focus. You're distracted. And meanwhile, the teacher's not sure what to do. The teacher is stressed. But what if your teacher steps down from the front of the room? If you are sick, you don't have to worry. Your teacher's lessons are on video, so you can pick up right where you left off. This isn't from YouTube, by the way. Your teacher made the video, and you're watching them explain. So you're not lost anymore. You're engaged. And if you already know the content, you can move ahead and do an extension activity. You can work on this with your classmates. Now you aren't bored anymore, you're challenged. And if you're having a bad day, the teacher has time to sit with you. They can ask what's wrong and help you feel better. You aren't distracted anymore, you feel supported. And by the way, your teacher realizes that they can meet your needs and they can feel successful. We call this a modern classroom. Welcome. In a modern classroom, you'll notice three new things. First, your teacher is creating videos for you. You can watch these videos in class or at home. You can pause, rewind, rewatch, or skip ahead if you get it. These don't replace your teacher, they just clone your teacher so that they can support you individually. Next, you'll learn at your own pace. When you get things quickly, you move ahead quickly. When you need more time, you'll have the time you need. This means you'll learn as much as you can without being rushed or held back. Finally, you're really going to learn things. In fact, you'll master them. You won't move to lesson two until you really understand lesson one. So when you learn something new, you're really going to learn it. After all, you're too capable for anything less than true understanding. So that's a modern classroom for you. Now what are you waiting for? Let's learn.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for watching that. I really love the ending of like, let's learn, right? Like that is like the highlight of every learning experience. Or it should be anyway, right? And so with that being said, let's do a quick introduction. We'll start out with Jamisa. Go ahead and let our folks know all about you.
Hi, I am Jamisa McCall, and I am a fourth grade teacher in Birmingham, well, Hoover, Alabama. So that's close to Birmingham, if anyone knows about Alabama. And I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, and I'm so stoked because I'm also in Montgomery. So I feel like I got to come check you out, Jamisa, at some point so we can connect in real life. Okay, thank you. Andora.
Yeah, hi, I'm Andora Ligi, and I'm in Sacramento, California. And I've been teaching for 10 years right now in second grade. And I've been using Modern Classrooms for about 3 years and mentoring other educators through the free course or the mentor course, and just loving it every minute.
Thank you so much, Andora. And Andora and I have worked a lot together, so it's really quite exciting to be in the same space as you. And then, of course, we have Lindsay.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Wilson from Kentucky. I'm in Louisville, and I'm actually in my classroom right now. We have a later start and end time, and so we don't start school till 10, and we get out at 4:30. I'm still here, and I have just been doing Modern Classroom for 2 years, but whenever I've taught everything from preschool all the way through eighth grade. But when I taught kindergarten several years ago, I realized there was too much curriculum to get through with all of my kids to make sure everybody mastered everything. And so I actually started doing little videos for my kids that were ready to go to the final module and unit. And whenever I moved over to my new school into second grade, I heard about modern classrooms. And I was like, that's exactly what I need to do and learn better how to do it. And so I have learned so much, and I hope that you guys do too, because it has truly transformed the way we can teach our kids.
Oh, that's so exciting. So exciting again for all three of you to be in this space with me. And so before we get started with our questions, Jimmy, so what's bringing you joy currently? And then we'll go with Andorra and then Lindsay.
Right now, what's bringing me joy, I would say my little girls. I have a 5-year-old and a almost 2-year-old. And so we're party planning. We have a birthday party to plan next month, and it's bringing me so much joy.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. That's the age. That's like a good time, right? Yeah.
So my kids are a little bit older. I have a 22, a 23, and a 27. And I was going to share that they're also bringing me joy. They make me laugh all the time, and they are like my best friends. So yeah, they bring me joy.
Oh, that's precious. That's so precious. Lindsay, what about you?
So I was also going to share that my children are bringing me joy, but it's in like a with the rain comes the rainbows type of thing. We're renovating our house, and so we cannot sleep in our bedrooms. So my whole family, we're all sleeping in the basement together. And I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. And it has been like the most fun, crazy week and a half where we are learning to just love each other harder in a smaller space. And so that's bringing me a lot of joy, but also looking forward to the separation a little bit in the future.
Oh, I love that so much, Lindsay, of just like, we're learning how to love each other harder instead of the other way around. Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing that. I really like to start off sessions or talks like that because it brings about such a positive light in conversations. And so for our attendees and our listeners, my name is TR, Deanna, and Tony Rose, they, them pronouns. I am the community engagement person at MCP. And I was a former English educator and as well as an instructional coach. And so basically what I get to do now is hype up educators, get educators to showcase all of the cool things that they're doing in their classrooms and just really continue to celebrate educators because y'all are the bomb.com. So like, why wouldn't I, right? And so, okay, let's go ahead and get started. The first question that I have for you all is, what is an intention that you have this year for your elementary students?
So for me, the intention that I have for all my kids is I want them to be independent. I want them to be confident about their learning and have a love of learning and be able to self-advocate when they need something because they're not always going to be in my classroom. And, you know, no matter what teacher they're with, I want them to be able to get what they need.
Andorra, I have a follow-up question for you. When you say self-advocate, right, and you teach second graders, yeah. And I'm sure that there's a lot of comments that I've heard anyway that are like, oh, our kids are too young to know how to do that. Would you agree, disagree?
I disagree. I have also used the model in first grade, and it is true that when they first come in, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of training and a lot of time just having discussions and reflecting, they're definitely capable of it. And so that's why it's such a big intention of mine is that, you know, that they grow from that when they first start in my classroom till the end, and they are able by the end to advocate for themselves and get what they need.
I really love that. And I'm sure it's like a celebration too when you see them like self-advocating and becoming self-directed learners, because I know that that is such a hard skill to teach.
It is. And I see them, you know, becoming leaders like as they go forward. And I've got, you know, now that I've been teaching the model for a couple of years, I have third and fourth graders that are out there that have gone through my class, and I see them as leaders in the school. They're peer mediators. They're leaders in the after school program. So, you know, the skills they're learning in the modern classroom is carrying over into other areas for them.
Oh, I really love that. Thank you for pointing that out, because that's what we want, right? Like, we want to give our students the skills that they need outside of the classroom. Because I know definitely when I was in the classroom, I would always ask, like, why do I need to know this? Right? So that's really great that, like, skills continue to be embedded in who they are, right? And these skills we're talking about are like executive functioning skills, right? Like time management, prioritizing, being able to voice concerns, reflect on the learning that's happening. And I feel like all of those skills can be really daunting, especially for young learners, right? And so to hear that like second graders are doing this is just really magical. And I know that I've been around like kindergarten and first grade teachers as well that are doing this. And like, it's just so magical. So Jamisa and Lindsay, do y'all have anything that you want to add on?
I'll add one intention that I have is for my students to feel seen. And that was a big part of why I wanted to adapt the model, because we have so many students and there's just one us, you know? And so I feel like I have more time to see my students and they all feel seen. So that's a big one for me.
Yeah. I really, really love that. Because I think sometimes school can be a really negative experience for kids, and also for educators, right? And so being able to create a space where folks feel seen is really important. So thank you for bringing that up, Jamisa. And Jamisa, you work with fourth graders. So I have not worked with a lot of fourth graders, but how do they respond to like this model of just like, oh, okay, I do feel seen and you're holding me accountable for work?
Yes. And the time, because you would not think it, but they are very needy in the fourth grade as well. And so that time when they need the time with me, they get it. And when they don't, they can move on and they love it. You know, they feel like it's my choice. They you know, they love it.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great. I don't know, for some reason, I find fourth graders to be so scary. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, no, they love the hugs and they want to sit next to you. And they, yes, they're not as independent as you would think at first.
Yes, that's awesome. What about you, Lindsay? Do you have anything you want to add on?
So my classroom is, I'm a, you know, the general ed second grade teacher, but I collaborate with the ECE students. So out of the five, which are our exceptional child educated program. And so I have 8 of my students are ECE kids. And it is so important to me to be able to pull them and have small groups with them and to be able to work closer and more continuously with them. And so the modern classroom gives me that ability to really hone in on skills with those guys. I have, you know, groups with them every single day. And while some of my other students are going through different parts of our lesson independently, it gives me that opportunity to work so closely with the kids who need it. And it's not just my ECE kids too. My, you know, ESL students come up and they work with me as well. And then some of even my highest achievers will want to come up if they don't understand something. Can you just work with me for just a minute? Do you have a minute, Miss Wilson? And so they'll come and sit with me. And that is the magic of the modern classroom, because you really do, like she said, every kid is seen, every kid is heard, and they're not sitting back there. And the video of the kid crying and getting upset, that's so real, because that's something that happens so often, and you see it, and there's not a lot you can do in your whole group teaching. And this really, truly brings all of that and, you know, clones you. You know, I love that it said it clones you and doesn't replace you. So that's exactly what my intention was.
Yes. And I love that. And this is actually a great segue too, Lindsay. So, you know, you all talk about like small groups and one-on-one, right? So what does self-pacing look like in grade 2, 3, 4 classroom?
Who wants to go first?
I can share about, so my students learn to use the public facing tracker as well as a game board tracker to keep track of what lesson they're on and what lessons they've mastered. And then I've kind of adapted it a little bit to make it a little bit more simple for my second graders. If Can I share it real quick, Miss Tony Rose?
Yeah, go for it, please. Thanks. We love examples here.
Yes. So this, when I first started, I didn't have these little check boxes on here where it says video, problem set, and exit ticket. And the kids would get confused because they'd start lesson 4-6 and then they'd watch the video and they might not finish the lesson. They'd come in the next day and they'd still see that they're on 4-6. So they'd watch the video. And I was like, no, you don't need to watch the video again. So, you know, those little things that I thought that I took for granted, they needed, you know, a little bit more guidance. So I've just kind of left it up there. And so kids that need to can check off each thing. But this is how they self-pace. And so they have this in their math folder and every day they take it out and they check it off. And I also have the public facing tracker, which gives a more general, you know, who's on what lesson. And so they can keep track for themselves and they learn how to do it in second grade. And I have the link for that too. I can drop it into the chat.
Yes, please, Andora. And one thing that I really like about that too is that there's different colors, so students know the different types of assignments. And I don't know if our attendees were able to see, but there was the line, the straight line, and then there's a dotted line. So that kind of shows like the should do and the must do. Thank you, Andora, for putting that again. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So just kind of lets kids know like, hey, these are the things that we must do. And then these are the things that you can do if you have time. And a lot of the times our students really enjoy the should do's as well, which I find to be so fascinating that you like choose to do more work.
The high flyers are the ones that are getting to do all those. And those kids love a challenge. So they will do those. And then I also do have a choice board with the Aspires to do, you know, when they're done with these, they get to do some other fun content related stuff. But noticing the dotted lines versus solid, I didn't have that before. I just had the color, but I realized I can't make colored copies for all my students every time. So I had to switch it up.
Right. And Dora, and that was another thing too that I would point out to people when you have progress trackers like this, because we assume that everyone knows colors. We assume that like people see colors as well when we think about color blindness. Mm-hmm. And so I really like different icons and different ways to like the dotted and the solid lines, right? And if you can all see, like, this is a very simple way to do it too. But as a student, it alleviates a lot of stress. They know exactly what they're doing and they're not unsure anymore. And this is something that you all can share with all stakeholders. So families, co-teachers, principals, school leaders, you know, everyone is on the same page as far as like where students are going. And so thank you for showing this.
I just wanted one more thing to point out, this part down here at the bottom. So as a class, we kind of decide, I'll tell them when our, you know, final mastery check is going to be. And then we kind of decide, well, let's pick a lesson in the middle, like 4-11, like what date should we be here so that we can look at the date that we have decided on and see if we're kind of on pace. And then my public facing tracker has kind of daily dates, but just so that they also kind of have a time limit and a goal that they're shooting for with what time they want to get done with this lesson.
Yeah. And you asked your learners to be a part of that, right? That decision process.
We do that together. And that way they're learning the management part of it. Like, well, if we have the final test is going to be here, you know, I got to get, you know, we look at the calendar and they're second graders, but they figure it out.
Yes, I love that. Lindsay, did you want to jump in, Jamisa, as well?
Sure. Is it okay if I share mine as well?
Yeah, please. Okay, it seems so, like it, you know, I'm seeing a lot of questions popping up, which is great. So show your examples and then we'll go through the questions too.
So this is my game board and this is how my students self-pace. At the beginning of each section in their Google Classroom, they get one of these and it just changes by section. So on each one, we work through the rainbow every day and I can show you how it looks in our classroom and how my students self-pace. But in their Google Classroom, they'll have this and it goes through first their lesson and video and guided notes, and that's pink. And if you click on it, that's where the video is. Then they know they have to go into practice problems. And the gold trophies are what they must do every day. And then the silver trophies are their should do's. And so one of these is a Lumio activity, which is a smart board, digital, interactive collaborative game or question that they might do. And then they go into centers. And centers are yellow. And then once they finish centers, they do a mastery check daily just for the lesson. And that's their cool down. They have to get that finished. And then once they finish that, then they can go on into a math game. And as they go through the rainbow, I am stopping and pulling them and talking to them. And they're working with their friends. As they go through the rainbow, I'm going to walk you guys. Sorry. Here's my public-facing tracker. They work their way through each lesson with their little clip, and they start at pink, and then when they finish, then they move to red, and then they move to orange. And so they know who's with them, and they know, okay, well, I need to play a game. I'm with my friends in the yellow. They go find that friend's face, and they'll work together. Or they're in the orange. Or some of my star friends, look, this is real life. This is the end of the day. Almost everybody made it to blue, which was awesome. And I have my little star friends. Those are the friends where if somebody needs help and I'm unavailable, they go ask those three before me. And then I also have Jeffy, our Jaguar. He's our mascot. As our lesson progresses, they go through where, like, I'll stop and say, okay, Jeffy's in the red. Everybody needs to be in the red. We're working on practice problems. And if they haven't got there, they know to speed it up a little bit. So they kind of follow and they pace along with Jeffy, but they stay with their friends and they work self-paced. That's when they know if they need to skip the should do's. So if Jeffy's too far down and they haven't gotten there yet, they skip the should do's and they stick with the must do's. And because it's hard for all of my kids to make sure they know where to go, over here is where we keep all of our color coordinated stuff. So we have our, when they finish the red, they put it in the red. When they finish the green, they put it in the green. When they play in the yellow, they're getting their yellow center games. And then each lesson has a red and a green envelope so they know where to get it. And it matches their lesson that's on the board and then in their game board. And so some days, like, couple of my friends weren't here this week, so they were in a lesson behind and they were coming through. But honestly, I cannot be more proud of my little second graders and even my kids when they come, like, brand new to class. Like, I had a new kid in January, and 3 days later, he was running through that rainbow. And that is, he knows which color to follow and where to go. And so that's been really, really great to keep my kids self-paced and on target and to know where to go next.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for your classroom tour. That was so fun. It's so cool. So cool. Thank you, Lindsay. Jamisa, did you want to add on anything?
I can share my tracker. It's a little more upper elementary if anybody wants to see, or I can share it later. But something that I do, I start the lesson with a check-in. And just to make sure we're all on the same page for the day, that we don't just get started, we jump in. And I also identify star students. So for each lesson that we have paced out, I have a star student in that lesson, and the students know, hey, if I have any questions, this would be a great person to go and ask. So I agree. I also do the same thing because it just works. And those students who are my star students, it just brings them so much joy to, you know, that leadership there. They feel like leaders.
There was a question where it was like the time commitment of the trackers and the videos. Yeah, Lindsay. So do you want to pop in and just say, like, what is the time factor for videotaping and then also just creating the pacing trackers? But before you do that, Lindsay, I do want to say that if y'all go check out Modern Classrooms, we have all of the pacing trackers or a lot of them that you can just copy and paste and make it your own as well.
Well, honestly, the setup is the most strenuous time. So it, once you get past that and you make it and you fit the needs to your class, because this is my rainbow was not my first choice. It happened after some trial and error. And I realized we really needed those colors. We needed to follow along. We needed to have everything. And so that was trial by error. But once it's set up and you have the game board, I use the same game board for every unit, every section. I just switch out the learning targets and the center games, and then I link my videos. So that really doesn't take long at all. In terms of, like, making the videos, you get better the more you do. So you do get faster at it. And some mornings, like, I'll do it right before I come to school. And my kids are like, oh, Miss Wilson, you're wearing the same outfit today. You know, and some of them, I'm like, you know what? I just had to get it done. And some of them, it's in the classroom right before lunch. And I'm like, okay, come on, guys, let's go. You know, so it actually, it just depends on, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of time. Sometimes I do, you know, the more important lessons, it takes a lot more time because you have to make it so concise to keep it engaging and available for the kiddos. But it really is truly, it's truly worth it. I would say probably 30 minutes a lesson, like start to finish.
Can I add too, if you're lucky enough to teach the same grade level and curriculum, the next year is a cakewalk. And even if you aren't teaching the same grade level, because I've gone from first to second, both with Modern Classrooms, and my first grade videos come in really handy for foundational skills. You know, I can throw them in my Google Classroom for kids who need that stuff. So, I mean, I'd love to have a whole first through six library of videos, but it does get easier. And like you said, the more you do it, you become able to just do it in the morning. And, you know, sometimes I've got a great slideshow for my lesson videos, and other times it's me and my doc cam and my manipulatives on my desk. And it's like, we're going to learn it this way today. And the kids actually like it, you know, switching it up a little. And I'll have, instead of a slide, I'll just write the lesson on the paper and the objective, and I'll just throw it in front of the doc cam. And, you know, that works too. So that's what I tell my mentees. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You know, do it the way that the way that you're used to teaching. Just do it that way, and it'll be a lot easier and sustainable for you.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And I always tell people too, because I have ADHD, I have to time myself, or if not, I will spend all day on one thing. So using a timer is really important. If I know that I only have 25 minutes to do this thing, then I'm going to use every minute to do it in 25 minutes. So highly recommend having a timer, highly recommend planning it before you actually record. So especially if it's going to be your first time creating a video, definitely plan it, right? Like talking about like, okay, am I going to do slides or am I going to do a doc cam? Have bullet points of what you want to say, because sometimes you're going to forget what you want to say if you don't have it written down as well, right? And then another thing I tell teachers too is like, just pretend like the camera are your students. So bring in your personality, joy, like jokes, you know, whatever it is, you could still be really personable through your videos.
Well, on my tracker, we have a curriculum, because this is for math, that we have to use in my district. And so I found a way to merge this model with my curriculum. And so a lot of the things for like our mastery tricks that I have to use, I've just found a way to merge it and make it all work. And so this is what a upper elementary tracker looks like. And so I have the lesson, we have target dates as well. And so it kind of helped guide them for every, you know, so many lessons you should be here. And I have the standards, our objectives, because that's something we have to have. And we use Google Classroom. So I post a lot in Google Classroom and on our platform that we have for our district. And this is just a way that I found to merge it all and make it work with the curriculum I have to use from my district.
So Jamisa, I have a follow-up question for you then.
Okay. Right?
Because there's, you know, we have curriculums. Yes. How long did it take for you to figure it out? Like figure out how to have your curriculum and create a self-paced learning environment for your kids?
Well, it did not, at first I was stressed about how I would make it work. How can I, you know, merge the two? And then it was just like a light bulb, like, wait a minute. It makes sense. We have a quick check, which is just a mastery check. We have practice problems, you know? And so I have my recorded video, my learning video, but they also have to watch a video from the district. So we have two videos. So it's great, but they're short, simple, short videos. And so the parents also love it because hey, we can watch the videos too. So it did not take a lot of time at all. Once I realized I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, I can just use what my curriculum already provides for me and tweak it just a little bit to match the model.
Yeah, and I really
also use my curriculum, the mastery checks I base off of theirs. And then someone asked about how long the videos are, and I keep them super short. they're supposed to be under 9 minutes, I think, but like I find that four is even better, five, especially for, you know, second graders. But, you know, when I watch them watching the videos, a 6 or 7 minute video sometimes seems really long when I look at their little faces. So, yeah, they're not long at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we're really competing with TikTok videos out here. So we have to be as concise as possible, yeah. Especially mm-hmm. when it comes. And even I'm thinking as an adult learner, right? Like when I see something that's 6-9 minutes long, I'm like, oh, no, later. I'll watch that later.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we don't even have to go through our questions because our attendees have so many questions here that I absolutely love. And so one of them is actually a really great question. When you made the shift from a legacy model to a learner-centered approach, what do you feel you had to embrace and or abandon?
That is a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I had to embrace the curriculum even more. I feel like I was not happy with the curriculum my district chose for us. And it was really, really hard to get through lessons with my kids, and they really didn't enjoy it. And I think that it made me learn making the videos and tweaking it to my own and condensing a 90-minute lesson into 9 made it much more enjoyable for me to teach. It made it much more enjoyable for my students to learn. And I still, like our other presenters, use the districts or the curriculum's cool downs and, or the mastery checks and our practice problems that we have to use. And they're still doing fantastic with it. But I think it really allows me to embrace the curriculum in a way that I did not ever think that I would or could. And then I'll let somebody else.
Well, I was going to say one thing that I really embrace is with this model that was not before is the mastery based part of it. I never felt comfortable with moving on when mm-hmm. we just weren't getting it, and we would spiral back and spiral back. And it was like, we weren't getting through the whole curriculum because we were reteaching, or we were just moving on. And that felt even worse because mm-hmm. it was like, it just felt bad. So I just love the fact that nobody moves on until they master it. The kids love it. They love the immediate feedback. I mean, they are just, we have a magnet kind of waiting board on the side of my desk, and that's how they, you know, get to see me. And that's pretty much what I do all day, is go through their magnets. And I have a couple other things I do, but they get so excited when I call them up, and they're just like, they can't wait to see how they did. And they're just so excited about it. Then they'll be like, yes. And I don't know. It's so, I embrace the mastery base part and the quick feedback part of it too.
I think the students thrive off of the quick feedback because the instant gratification, you know, they love it. They love the instant feedback. So,
yeah.
I think it really did bring the community closer together too. Like, I think people think I'm joking when I say, oh, when my kids move colors, they're high-fiving each other. And they're like, hey, look at you, you're on yellow. Like, they love it. Like, look how far you got, man. And like, they'll cheer for each other. And look, I can't wait, you're in lesson 6 today. And now you're in lesson 8. Like, look how much you were. I mean, it's really cool. It's
turned out. We had a whole round of applause today for one guy because he's kind of been stuck and everybody knows it. And one day he got frustrated and had tears. And, you know, today I worked with him in a group and with manipulatives and everything, and he moved on. And when he passed, like, the whole class was just broke out in cheers. And I almost cried. It was so cute.
It is. It really is. It's one of those magical things where you're just like, oh, I wish everybody could just have, you know, like, it makes you feel good because it's usually your kids that feel less than amazing at academics, and their friends are just sitting there cheering them on, and they love it. They get so excited, and I don't know. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I was thinking too is like abandoning that whole notion of being perfect and being in control. You really have to abandon those two things, and also embracing the fact that you're going to make mistakes in front of your students because this is a new way of teaching and learning, and just being able to be vulnerable enough and say like, oh, that didn't work. Oops. Like, let's do something else. Right. But really like humanizing the whole process of learning and teaching. So that's something. And I know, like, as an English teacher, I loved hearing myself talk. So I definitely had to abandon that and really providing space for folks, for my students to apply and create as opposed to just listening to me talk.
Yeah, and that's what that reminds me of, like for me, abandoning the whole, 20-minute lesson of, just like you, I don't have to stand up there and teach to, three kids while the bored ones don't listen and the ones that don't get it are goofing around. I am happy every day to have abandoned that.
And then when it comes to like the mastery base part of it too, right? Like if we're thinking about grading, it definitely shifted my grading mindset to this really has everything to do with skills. I can't put in effort. I can't put in participation. I can't put in a mastery base means that it is connected to the skills that we are learning and nothing else and nothing more, right? So we had another great question, which I'm also really curious about, is the balance between whole group and videos, right? Like self-pacing and whole group. How does that look in your classrooms?
So the only whole group I do is at the very beginning and at the end. And we start every lesson with a number talk. And my kids really love number talk. So we time ourselves. We have 5 minutes whole group. And then we unpack our learning target or the one that Jeffy or the Jaguar is on. Some of us might not be there yet, but our learning target for the day, we unpack that. And that's about 3 minutes. And then at the very end, the last like 8 minutes of the day, we pull everybody back together. And I usually will review Lumio, the activity that they can't, it's the should do. But what I use Lumio for is to kind of review a concept that maybe some of us needed reinforcement on from a prior lesson or from a previous unit that I know is going to come back in the next unit or the next lesson. And so we spend a little bit of time there, but it's not a whole lot because so much is happening, in the self-paced classroom. So we don't have a whole lot of whole group, less than probably 13 minutes the whole day for math.
Oh, nice. Okay. And that actually, go ahead, Jamisa, sorry.
I was just going to say for whole group, we have whole group days planned in, and usually it's days for like hands-on games. And so I place that in the tracker. And so they know after this lesson, we have a whole group lesson on this day. And so they know I have to be here by this day, because if I'm not there, I'm not prepared for the whole group activity. And usually it's a game. So we don't want to be behind and, not be able to participate in the game or not understand what's happening in the game. And so we build those in.
Yeah. And I love that too, Jamisa, because again, right, transparency, right? Students mm-hmm. know. It's not a surprise mm-hmm. factor. It's like, hey, you have this amount of time to do mm-hmm. the work that you need. And then we'll have this space to be in a whole group to enjoy mm-hmm. each other, learning together and having this shared experience. Mm-hmm. So I love that too, Jamisa, that you had times and days for specifically mm-hmm. whole group. I think that that's really important, especially for thinking about science too, right? Like labs, yeah. that could be uh-huh. a whole group. You wanted. I know for English, there was a lot of discussion that was happening. So we would have whole group discussion. So mm-hmm. there's definitely still a way to balance whole group and self-pacing. And Dora, what about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same as Lindsay. We do kind of a number talk thing at the beginning. And then at the end of the class, we come back and kind of talk about how it went. And I also have done a whole group if like everybody's kind of showing me that they're stuck on something. And I might just do that impromptu in the middle of the math period. It's like the third kid comes up to me with the same, like misunderstanding. And I'm just like, okay, everybody, come sit over here on the carpet and let's talk. And that's what the flexibility of this model mm-hmm. allows me to do, whether it's a small group or a whole group. And then we do also sometimes like Kahoot activities. So like Jamisa, if you're, if you're on pace, you're going to be able to do well at that. And they get really competitive about that. So we might do that on a certain day. So we do mix it in. I know somebody said something about screen time. And even if I'm not doing whole group, it is still not a lot of screen time. I mean, like we mentioned, the videos are really, really short, like mm-hmm. 5 minutes. It might take a little longer to get through it because it's interactive. So they might have their whiteboards out or, it might take them a little longer to answer some of the questions, but 10 minutes usually for the screen time. And then after that, they're working, on paper, pencil, and they're working together and they're collaborating and they're using academic discourse. And it's just not when somebody walks in, you don't see kids looking at their screens. You might see one or two, but typically it's just a busy, buzzing place.
Yeah, no, these are great too. And I know that sometimes in our community, you know, the kids will be like, oh my gosh, we don't want to do self-pacing anymore. And then they go back to the whole group, right? And then 2-3 minutes into the whole group, the kids are like, never mind. We actually also hate it. Like, we hate this so much.
I threatened my kids yesterday, as a matter of fact, because they were getting off task with their collaboration. And so I said, you know, guys, we can go back to me just teaching you. And I pointed at some of the higher, I go, but we'll still be on addition. We won't have gotten to subtraction. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be on two-digit addition. So if you're not ready for that, you're going to be struggling. And, you know, I just kind of spelled it out for them. And it got so quiet after that. They were all on task. Like, they were just like, okay, we remember now why we're doing this. So that's all I had to do.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing to keep in mind too. Like, our kids are kids, right? Like, they will get off task, right? They're not going to be on task 100% every single day, which is fine. And I think that this model is flexible enough for kids to be kids as well, which I absolutely love.
And then it lets us have the conversation about why. Why are we off task? And lets them, you know, solve the problem. And that's really empowering.
Yes, because something is missing, right? Like, it's either they don't understand something, or they're scared to approach something, or like, there's always something. But there's time now to have that conversation. And then that relationship with that student gets deeper and better, right? Because now we've had this conversation. So another thing that's popping up is revisions, right? When students don't reach mastery, how does that look in your classes?
So I have this beautiful green stamp, because green is our cool down. It's our mastery check. And it says, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? I stamp this paper all day. Oh, please correct and return. So I will stamp it, and I'll give it back to them. And that they know if they don't understand, they'll come back and say, Miss Wilson, can you help me with this? And I'll say, did you watch the video? Did you look back at your notes? Yes, we did. So then we'll sit and we'll work on it. And I will help them master that with me, and then give them another option where they can do it. Like, we'll fix what they did wrong together, and then give them a different mastery check for them to show what they know. But that's how it works with my room.
Yeah, so mine is similar. It depends on the error, you know. If I can circle their mistake and give it back to them, and they can go find it, they'll be like, but what's wrong with it? I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you. If they can't figure it out, or if I just know that they just really don't understand it yet, we go back to the practice work and we do some more practice problems together, or they can work with peers on practice problems, which is also really fun for them. I also have a couple of student experts that are, you know, ahead on the tracker, and their names are on the board, so students know who to go to if they want some help. And we work all the time on how do we help someone. We're not, you know, giving them the answers. So that's another skill they're building. But that's how they revise. So if they have to do additional practice, then I'll take a look at it and I'll ask them, do you think you're ready to try a mastery check? And it's a separate one. It's usually a different version. So yeah, new numbers.
And in my class, it's the same. We have two copies. Luckily, through our curriculum, we have two copies of our practice assessments, two copies of, you know, several things. And so that way I'm able to pull. And I also, I'll pull them back. And like you said, Indora, I'll give them back the same copy. And I'll say, okay, let's look back over this. And if you come back and it's still incorrect, I know I need to pull you, and we need to work on this together. So.
Yeah. And I know for like English, right? Like, I would have options for students to do corrections like verbally, right? Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts now, right? Instead of giving them a new copy, just having that conversation of like, why did you get this wrong? Why do you think this was the wrong answer? I'm telling you the right answer now, but why is that the right answer? Go back to your text and take a look at what we read, just so that you can, you know, you can cite evidence to support the new answer. So yeah, these are great. And I think, you know, when I implemented this model as well, self-pacing, it really allowed for my students to have time to actually revise and make changes in the classroom, right? Like, because I was expecting for my students to do it outside of the classroom, and LOL, that'll never happen. We have to have time embedded in the classroom for them to make revisions just so that they feel that support, right? Like, if they're getting frustrated, they know that they can turn to a teacher mm-hmm. or a peer instead of having to do that on their own, which we know sometimes life is lifing outside of the classroom. So really having that time in the classroom is really important for revisions and reflections. So another question that we had was, you know, we talked about the pacing tracker. We talked about behind, ahead, and on pace. In your classroom communities, how do your students respond? Like, is there a feeling of shame for being behind pace? Is there, you know, how do you create a community where there's not joking or name calling or anything when it comes to the pacing tracker?
I think that it's just, well, in my class, we, you know, overall, we talk about how, you know, everybody's good at different things. So, you know, just, and I do this for writing and language as well. So the same kids that are always at the top on math are not always the ones that are at mm-hmm. the top on writing. So they get to see it. But talking about that, and then, like I said today, that they cheered that little guy on who was having trouble. And, you know, it's just the ones that are behind, I feel like they don't feel bad about it either. They are just excited when they get mm-hmm. their lesson. Like, they would rather understand their lesson and you know, attack it and tackle it, then they would rather do that than be moved up and not know what's going on. So, and I think just everybody just supports that in my classroom. It can be a little competitive with some of the overachievers, but they're up in the front anyway, and they kind of just do their thing between them. Like, oh, you're on that lesson, I'm going to take that mastery check today, and they get a little competitive, but overall, I think it's all just, it depends on how you build your community, I guess.
And well, I was going to say classroom culture. You know, like, we really work on that at the beginning of the year, especially in elementary, like building that positive classroom culture and that everyone doesn't get the same thing. And, you know, what is fair and what's not, you know, like all these things. And so I think that just carries over when we're using the model. They remember those things like, hey, you know, it's okay that I haven't made it there yet. You know, we talk about the power of yet. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there, you know. And so I think it's just the classroom climate helps with that.
I agree with you both a lot as well. One of the things that I ended up doing, and I know this is not absolutely what Modern Classroom says, but I do stop my lesson at the end. So I have everything available if they're ready to go up, but instead of saying, okay, so you finish this lesson, you can go to lesson 9 or you can go to lesson 10, they have an extension activity. And so that activity it's fun and it's different and it's extending their knowledge, but also those students, once they get into the blue, that's what we call it in here, when they get into that level, they become my class mentors. And so for the kids that are struggling, instead of feeling, you know, well, I have to work with Miss Wilson, I have to go sit back with her, they have the high flyers that go sit with them and they work with them. And these kids have become beautiful little teachers, and they love working with their friends. And so that is another way for them to learn. And they learn so much better from their peers sometimes than they do from me. It's almost embarrassing. I'm like, well, dang, I spent 3 hours trying to get that, you know. But that is one of the things that my kids that do struggle, they go find, you know, me if they need me, but also their friends, and their friends, those friendships get stronger. And I see them, you know, sitting by each other at lunch right afterwards, because we moved from Modern Classroom to lunch. And so, you know, it's a really cool, very, very unique place. And just before I get off of this, I know someone mentioned ADHD students having difficult focusing, and my class is always jam-packed. That is, I love my ADHD kids. I've taught ADHD. I mean, like, I used to only teach at a school for ADHD students. I love them. And this is absolutely magnificent for those students. Giving them the opportunity to focus on what they are able to write at that moment, and then move and do something different and talk and use words and get out of their seat and get on the floor and come talk to you and talk to a peer. It is magical. And I hate using that word so much, but I can't think of better ones. So it's incredible. And my kids love it. They work harder and smarter, and they're able to maintain that focus in a different way than they were whenever we were in whole group. And my students with ADHD suffer infer so much in my whole group lessons, like our long drawn out whole group reading class. And I know it's because they're not able to self-pace and they're not able to move around the room like they would in other, you know, in our modern classroom. So I only see modern classroom and all of the activity helping those students and strengthening them. And I have not seen it hurt them. And like I said, these are my babies. I love my ADHD kids. I'm an ADHD kid myself. And I think that this is, it's fantastic for them. So I know you think it's going to be really hard for them to maintain that focus, but it definitely helps hone them in on what's important at the moment.
Yeah. And I also want to hone in on the fact that, you know, kids who do have ADHD, right? Like they need a lot of breaks. I also have ADHD. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of breaks that I need to do. And so typically when you have whole group, you have a child with ADHD raising their hands, interrupting mm-hmm. your lesson. And it's like, hey, can I go use the restroom? Or, hey, can I go do this? That has nothing to do with your lesson. So then it interrupts the flow. So the mm-hmm. interruption doesn't really happen in a self-paced classroom, right? Like if anything, they're interrupting themselves. They're not interrupting the whole class and disrupting the whole class, right? If they need a moment because of whatever is happening, they can have that moment without any kind of without penalizing them, right? Like if they needed a break, they're not missing out on the information that I'm teaching because I'm doing it whole group and not in a video where they can stop, pause, go take a break, and then come back, right? So yeah, thank you for that.
And to piggyback on that, there was that question about the pull-out special ed services. So kind of the same thing, right? It's really great for that because they can get pulled out and still come mm-hmm. back and pick up right where they left off. And, you know, half my class gets pulled out at one time or another. So, you know, it works for them too. And, you know, if I do need to scaffold for them, I can do that at small groups. I can adjust the mastery checks. I can, you know, do so many things to differentiate for them, but they don't miss stuff when they're getting pulled out. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think about students who are absent to tag on to that. Like I had a student at the end of last year, went back home to India for months. And we were in the middle of our fraction unit, which is a huge unit in fourth grade. And he continued to learn, you know, so, and he came back and he jumped right back in, you know, and he made a 100, a 95 on his the end of the mastery check. And I'm like, this is amazing. And so it was just great because his parents were like, what can we do? And I'm like, it's all there ready for you in Google Classroom. And so it was great.
And so I guess before we go to Jimmy said, there is a question about family reactions or responses to the model or just like a self-paced classroom, right? So, and I know that you said earlier that parents, families, you know, caregivers, they really love this model because now they can watch the video alongside their kid. But have you gotten any other kind of reactions?
I have had a parent say, well, when are you teaching? You know, I've had that question. I'm like, I'm teaching all the time. I'm teaching in the video. I'm teaching when we do our whole group check-in in the beginning. You know, I'm teaching when I pull for small group. And they're like, oh, and I said, and now your child can get more of me, you know, and they love that answer. Like, I didn't think about it like that. I'm just worried about them watching a video, but it's me and I'm teaching. And that really helped. Parents
teaching them one-on-one, like they're getting personalized tutoring, right? So
yes.
Oh, I love that.
I saw someone ask about the substitute, and it's great. This model is perfect for a substitute because they don't need any, you know, they don't need the adult when you're absent, you know. They may not pull the individual groups, but I make sure that no one's stuck before I leave and they know what to do. If they get stuck while I'm out, they know which activities to continue on with. And so the substitute is just there and they're going with it.
My substitutes are always like, yes, best class ever. I didn't have to do any, I mean, because the kids know what to do and they stick with it and they follow their routine. And, you know, you don't have to add in a random, you know, holiday themed or winter activity just because you're sick or what, you know, like they're still really learning what they're supposed to. And you stay on track and they stay on track. And that it is the best substitutes.
Yeah, subs are always impressed. And even the stuff that I'm not doing with modern classrooms, the few things, the kids are just still really good at pacing and mm-hmm. the must do, may do board. They just are so good at that. That everybody, like everyone that comes into my class, even if it's just to relieve me for a meeting, they're like, this is so great. Every time I come in here, the kids are just doing what they do. And there's no like teaching going on all day long. It's, I mean, no teaching, but the kids are just doing their thing all day. And there's a lot of learning, I guess, and not as much teaching.
Yeah. And that's typically what happens when we give, when we empower our students, right? And like, these are young learners, second, third, fourth graders, right? And for them to own their learning and to know like, oh, I'm going to come in here. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to do to be where I'm supposed to be. Y'all, that's magic. Like that's literally pure magic. And so a couple of questions too that I'm just going to run by because we, oh my gosh, we're right on the hour, which is wild. There's so many questions. This is so great. So the teacher is really more like a facilitator. Yes, Armina. Not every student needs to have a laptop or an iPad. If you have a class set, great. If you have four or five, then you can have your students watch the videos together as a group. So you don't necessarily have to have a one-to-one for this to work as well. And so there are a lot more questions. I want to be respectful of your time. I know that Lindsay, Jamisa, and Andora have a lot to share. And I really, really enjoy and love all of the conversation that's happening, right? And so I know that a lot of you have also asked about contact information. So you will get access to the slides, but also just a reminder, if you want to learn more about Modern Classroom, definitely check us out on social media. We have implementer meetups every month and Zoom, so you can talk to other educators as well, implementing a student-centered classroom. Our Facebook group has about 17,000 educators who are constantly sharing their resources for free because we love free. And our community is so positive. Like if you like love everything that Jamisa, Lindsay, and Andora are saying, literally the whole community is like this. Like it's wild. I love it so much. But just thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing to be here. We will provide you some contact info. But other than that, y'all, like go do something that brings you joy. Jamisa, Lindsay, Andora, y'all are rock stars. Like I literally want to be in your classroom and just see the magic because this is just cool stuff. Cool stuff. Also, if y'all find me on LinkedIn, message me, DM me and say like, hey, I want to know more about blank, right? Like I'll reach out to Lindsay and be like, hey, Lindsay, they want to, you know, is it okay for me to connect with you or whatever? Please slide in those DMs, right? Like even our Modern Classroom social media, slide into those DMs and ask for resources because we probably already have it. Whew. All right. With that being said, y'all, thank you. Go do something that brings you joy. Y'all are lovely. Oh my God. So cool. All right, y'all. I'll see y'all later. Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.